Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At America's Best, we know your eyes do a lot. These eyes blink, wink, and roll.
These eyes tried to parallel park, then abandoned that idea.
These eyes spotted their ex across the grocery store, then pretended to compare pasta sauces.
These eyes fell asleep mid-scroll and liked a photo from 2014.
And these eyes know they deserve to be seen by the best doctors and associates at America's Best. Every eye deserves better.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content, violence, and death.
And I have a cute little Spotify comment. You guys have been leaving a lot of them.
Yeah.
Our little rat pack. So cute.
I prefer the swarm.
Ah, our little rat swarm.
That sounds a little scary.
It should.
I'll read one. This one is from Just a Dark Romance Girly.
It says, "Oh my God, I can't get enough of you guys. You always have me laughing, and I agree with everything you guys say. Love you guys so much. I would rate you guys a trillion out of 10. Like, oh my God, you guys are all queens. Keep doing you."
Oh,
period.
Thank you, fellow queen.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
5.
Immediate 5.
I understand the hype. I'm so sorry to the masses that I am way behind on the train. First time reading it.
Also, Shelby, that's like shocking to me. Why is this your first time reading it?
Because I kept seeing that it's an unfinished series, so I was trying to hold off as long as possible.
Bitch, there's 3 books now.
And it's never ending. The next one's 2027. Rebecca.
Oh, Rebecca. I also gave it a 5-star. This was a reread for me. I read this after I finished Onyx Storm as the first reread of the series, and it still is really, really good.
Wait, so when you went back from Onyx Storm, did you read stuff that you were like, whoa?
Yeah, there was a couple of little Easter eggs that I didn't catch rereading Fourth Wing where I was like, oh, I see.
That's so cool. I haven't read Onyx Storm yet. I've read the second book. I haven't read Onyx Storm yet, but this was a reread for me and 5-star still.
Yeah, it's really good.
Wonderful.
So we start the book with a little saying that comes up quite a few times throughout the series, and it's a dragon without its rider is a tragedy. A rider without their dragon is dead.
Ooh. Okay, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon.
So we start with our female main character. Her name is Violet Sorengale, and she's just completed 6 months of training for Conscription Day in the Kingdom of Navarre, along with hundreds of other 20-year-olds. But the others have had years of training, so she's behind. She was originally slated to become a scribe, but her mother, who's the general of the Bazgaith War College pulled some strings to have Violet cross the parapet to become a writer. And you'll find out what all of this means in a second. Her sister Mira is pissed because Violet has a joint disorder that causes her to be frail and weak. So, like, she'll walk wrong and her hip will pop out.
It's definitely like Ehlers-Danlos, if you've ever heard of it. Definitely have Ehlers-Danlos.
Isn't it like a hypermobility thing? Yeah.
Shelby was like, never heard of this.
Ehlers-Danlos, never heard of her. So Mira is a lieutenant, super high up in the dragon army. Her father was a scribe who passed away, and now her mother has taken charge of Violet's future and does not want her to become a scribe. Mira is like, Violet's fragile. She dislocates a joint like every other day. She cannot do this. Because when you're training to become a writer, it's very physically intensive. And her mom's like, you're doing that.
I would also agree that she should not be doing that.
No, and she spent her whole life planning to become a scribe, which is basically like a librarian.
Yeah, it's like academic.
Mm-hmm. And now her mom's like, you have 6 months to train to be a writer.
Hope your joints stay in place. Good luck.
But Violet's like, I'm not weak. And her mom is like, she's used to pain. She can do this. So her mom's mindset is that she has a chronic disorder. So she's used to being in pain all the time. So like a little bit of pain isn't going to hold her back. We also learned that Mira and Violet had an older brother named Brennan who passed away. And this hit their mom extremely hard because he was the favorite.
It's always the boys that are the favorite.
I know, boy mom. Mira takes Violet's pack and gives her new boots and rips everything out to give her an advantage. But Violet insists on keeping her book of dark fables because her dad gave it to her before he died. Even though Mira's like, that book is bullshit because Venon and Wyvern are not real. But Violet's like, no, I'm taking it. So it's basically like Grimm's Book of Fairy Tales.
Okay.
And everyone's like, that shit's not real. Like, why do you need to keep it? But her dad gave it to her. So she's like, I must keep it.
Got it.
She puts on these sick ass leathers with sheaths for her daggers, and Mira braids her brown to silver ombre hair into a braid crown. So that is her unique feature, is her hair. It grows naturally in a brown to silver ombre.
Ooh, cool.
Uh-huh. And no matter how short she cuts it, it always grows like that. So she can't just cut the silver off.
Ooh, so cool.
God. Quirky. I love it.
Now Violet is to walk the parapet, and the parapet is a narrow stone bridge with no walls and a high drop, like so high that if you fall off of it, you'll die.
It's like 200 feet.
Just a stone bridge. And I've seen a bunch of TikToks of people talking about the parapet, because when you're reading the book, you're picturing like 6 inches wide stone wall that you have to walk across, but I guess it's 18 inches.
Yeah, it's really wide, but it's just people just don't think about the 200 feet drop.
Yeah, which I guess would be psychologically terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have nothing on the side of you just walking 200 feet above the ground.
I feel like I would just like throw myself off on accident. Like I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, that's what people do. Mira warns her that other cadets will try and kill her to increase their odds at bonding a dragon. So to be careful and to find Dane Atos immediately and avoid Zayden Ryerson at all costs. And Zayden is the child of a rebellion leader and a third year. He's nothing but trouble, and he's a wing leader this year. So his dad was part of the rebellion. There's a bunch of drama with it. You'll find out. Her and the rest of the candidates climb the stairs to the top of the parapet, and she meets a couple of the others, notably someone named Rhiannon and someone else named Dylan, who is excited to get through the next 3 years so he can get home and marry his Pookie.
Aww.
That's all he wants.
Sweet boy.
Yeah, he's just like in line talking about how he's going to go home and marry his girl.
What a king.
Violet sees Rhiannon's shoes and notices they're smooth on the bottom. Like so smooth that she'll slip right off the parapet. And Violet's like, here, take one of my rider boots. I'll wear one. You wear one. That way we don't slip and fall off the parapet. So she sacrifices one of her shoes for this girl she just met.
I mean, like, nice, but also you have a disability.
All she has to do is walk.
I know, but like, why risk it? But whatever.
Yeah. She's a noble girl.
She, yes, a kind girl.
She looks down and sees the wagons on the ground for the dead bodies after they fall. So it's expected that people are going to die. Approximately 15% of them will die today. So,
damn.
Yeah. Odds are pretty high that you're going to fall off the parapet. When they get to the top, she sees a handsome-ass dude. He's perfect-looking and the most beautiful man she's ever seen. Who is this guy?
Zayden.
It's Zayden. Zayden Ryerson. She realizes who it is, and she's like, oh, shit, scary, because because she's been warned that this guy is trouble. He looks at her after her name is called, and he looks at her with pure hatred, and she's like, oh shit, this dude wants to kill me. And he does. Her mom had his dad executed after his dad killed her brother.
Lots of family trauma.
He hates Violet. She asks him if he's gonna kill her, but then she looks at the parapet where Dylan is trying to cross, and it's raining, and he slips, and he falls, and he dies.
And he never sees his Pookie again.
Oh, that's so sad!
And Zayden's like, I'm not gonna have to kill you. It's almost your turn.
Scary. So only one crosses at a time?
Yes. But there's multiple people on the parapet at a time.
Okay.
It's kind of like a water slide.
It is. Like, it's like a water slide. Rhiannon starts her way across the parapet, and Violet's name is called again, and one of the other candidates is like Violet Sorengale, like General Sorengale, and she's like, ugh, yes, because she knows that her mom being the general of the entire war college is basically a giant target on her back. And then the guy's like, ew, you weak, scrawny bitch. And his name is Jack Barlow. And Jack Barlow sucks.
He's the worst.
Oh.
Tomato, tomato, tomato.
Boo.
It's Violet's turn now, and Jack goes to push her. And she's like, oh, fuck. And she just starts. So he was fully just going to push her down. But she's like, okay, okay, I'm going, I'm going.
Okay, yeah.
She remembers everything she practiced in the last 6 months. The stone is wet and slippery, and she just recites all of this knowledge in her head not to freak out, because she's a huge bookworm since her whole life has been dedicated to becoming a scribe. So she's just like reciting random like geography and history in her head.
I bet that's like comforting.
Yeah. Now she's saying random facts out loud as she makes it to the halfway point. The wind starts, and she's trying her darndest not to fall to her death. Rhiannon is like 3/4 of the way done now, and she's not dead yet, so maybe she'll make it. She keeps going, and now she can see the end of the parapet, but someone is behind her, and it's Jack.
Get away.
He turns around and grabs the candidate behind him and throws him from the parapet.
That's allowed?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It is allowed. Yeah. So he murders someone before he's even made it to the school. And he's like, you're next, Sorengale, and starts power walking toward her. Like, not even scared of falling. He's just like,
oof. I pictured oof, like a hot mom walk, because they're like still on like this skinny parapet. So yeah, like he can't really run.
Yeah, he's just hot mom walking towards her. Yeah. I'm gonna fucking kill you. Now Violet's going faster and trying not to slip, and she's basically screaming her random facts. She slips, and she grabs the stone, but tells herself that she will not die today. She gets back up, and her knee and hip are killing her, and Jack's like, I'm coming for you, Sorengale.
And I would shit my pants.
I literally would be like, get away! Yeah, like, she just watched him kill somebody, and now he's saying he's gonna kill her. Like, he means it.
As she's just, like, screaming facts.
Yeah. She goes even faster, and she looks up to see Rhiannon has just reached the end. Jack is getting closer, and he's just spewing hate and threats at her. But she makes it, and Jack is like, you won't be safe in there. But they both make it, and she knows she's safe right now because it's against the rules of the Codex for him to hurt her now. So now that they're both at the school, he can't technically outright murder her.
Yeah. Okay, good.
She holds one of her daggers to his balls until he's like, okay, fine, I won't kill you yet, but I will be the one who does kill you.
Okay, freak.
She's like not even spoken to this man, and he's like, I'm gonna fucking murder you.
What a weirdo.
Rhiannon sees her and runs up to thank her for the boots. She wouldn't have made it without them. Then Violet spots Dane, her childhood friend and crush, and he's looking buff and sexy.
Oh, hey, Dane.
And that's who her sister told her to go find. He's pissed to see her here because she was supposed to be a scribe. She's about to pass out, so he grabs her and brings her to a secluded area, and she's like, I'm gonna puke. And he rubs her back and warns Rhiannon not to tell a soul about this to make Violet seem weak to the other cadets. And Rhiannon's like, she saved my ass on the parapet, I'm not saying shit. Dane introduces himself to Rhiannon as the squad leader of Flame Section 2nd Wing. And Violet's like, damn, that's a hella high position for a second year. He tries to tell Rhiannon to go find one of the third years and let them know that Dane requests both of them to be on his squad. He grabs Violet and drags her through a tunnel to his room, and he uses his lesser magic to unlock the door. And Violet's like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So like, when they start school, they don't have magic. And then once they bond to a dragon, they get their magic. But this is just lesser magic. So he was just like, dinky dinky dink, and then the door unlocks.
Exactly like that. Dink, 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 dink,
dink. He tells her despite how pissed he is about her being here, it is good to see her. And there's this sense of sexual tension tension between the two of them. Like, do they both want each other now?
Oh.
Because she had a crush on him, but he was like, I want to say he was probably like too old for her, like too cool for her or something. And so it was like a crush on her end. And then he went off to Baz Gaius. And yeah, but now she's like, maybe he's into me now. She wraps her knee so her kneecap doesn't pop out after her fall because her joints suck. They leave his rooms and he's like, let's sneak you into the scribe quadrant where you belong. And she's like, no, I can't do that. My mom will murder me. And he's like, you won't survive Baz Gaius. And she's like, I did the parapet. I earned this. So he's trying to sneak her back to where he thinks she belongs.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get it. He just wants to protect her.
Yeah, but she's like, I crossed the parapet.
Yeah, she did it.
They get into an argument and she's like, I either live here as a writer or a name on the stone. That's what happens when you die. You're just a name on a stone.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, fine. Go meet the other first years. I have to go. She finds Rhiannon, who's talking to another girl named Tara. After an hour or so, the bell tolls and Zayden walks up on a stone dais with the other important people. So he's very high up at this college. 301 people survived the parapet today. 67 did not. And that is a higher death toll than what is average. Then they're told about 25% of them will survive to graduation.
Jesus.
Yeah, 75% of them are gonna die. She spots General Melgren up there with his beady little eyes. And he's another guy who sucks. We hate General Melgren.
Okay. Yeah.
He announces they'll be assigned to wing leaders and is like, don't die. They embrace their death toll, which is so weird.
Especially now in the second book. I won't say anything, obviously, because spoilers. But learning what other provinces in this world do compared to what Baz Gaius does, it's ass backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. She meets people that go to other schools and they're like, what happens at your school? Like, your school sounds horrible.
They're like, no one dies at our school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another woman starts reading off names and assigning them to where they'll go. Violet and Rhiannon are assigned to second squad, flame section, second wing, with Dane. She can feel Zayden watching her from the dais and says something to the second wing leader, and an argument breaks out between them. But when it's over, Zayden looks over and smiles at her.
Don't.
They get switched to be fourth wing with Zayden, and then they hear the beating of wings in the sky, and it's dragons. They're huge. They're massive. They're scary. Like, these dragons are fucking terrifying.
They're so cute.
There is one cute dragon. The rest sound absolutely, I would shit my pants if they came within 70 miles of me.
Oh, yeah. They're all giant, giant creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But so cute. I agree.
There's one cute dragon, and I stand by that.
Two. There's two.
Okay. He's not cute.
Yeah.
He's not cute. He's majestic and powerful.
Cute.
But I don't want to, like, squish his little cheeks or anything.
I do.
I do. Do you? He would burn you alive.
I would die happy.
The dragons land on the outer walls of Baz Gaius. They have an alliance with the humans simply because they need the signet abilities and the protective wards. So that's why they choose to bond with humans. And now Violet is like, how the fuck am I supposed to ride one of these things? Because obviously she's trying to become a rider, a dragon rider. Mm-hmm. She has these horrible joints and you ride bareback on the dragons.
Yeah.
She comes up to like their toenails.
Yeah. And you have to like run and jump onto their backs and like hang on for dear life while they like zoom you through the sky. And she's like, how the fuck am I going to do that?
I feel like that would take so much of your strength just to be able to like hang on and keep yourself in like a certain position.
She's also described as very petite.
Yeah, she's teeny tiny. One of the cadets tries to book it and a dragon blasts him with fire. And then a couple more try to run, but they get crisped up too. So a few more people have died.
Damn.
70 cadets are dead.
So if they run, the dragons are like, no.
Yeah, they're like, pussy, we're not bonding with you.
Yeah, because it shows like a sign of weakness. So they're like, unworthy.
Zayden is like, half of you will be dead this time next year. Do you feel invincible now? One of the dragons blows steam right at Violet and Rhiannon just to scare them. And the cadet behind them pees his pants a little bit.
Pussy.
The next day, they all gather while the cadets who died the previous day are read out loud to everybody. And that's basically the only recognition you get if you die at Baz Gaius. They just read your name in the morning and then everybody moves on with their lives.
Damn.
Yeah, they burn whatever shit you have, read your name, and you're gone.
Today, they're doing their first sparring sessions at the gym and Violet is freaking out because she's weak as fuck.
Yeah.
Before class, she has a secret meeting with Dane where he makes sure nobody tried to fuck with her the night before. Because it's not uncommon for people to get murdered in the middle of the night in their rooms.
I thought that wasn't allowed.
It's not, but it happens.
Yeah. You have to get caught.
He's obviously super concerned about her, and she asks him why she got switched from second to fourth wing yesterday, but he confirms her suspicions and tells her that Zayden wants her dead, and she's like, oh, cool, cool, cool. Like, she kind of figured. Damn. So Zayden's like, put them in my wing. And she's like, well, I gotta go to class. But he warns her again to stay away from Zayden, and especially his dragon, Sigail, who happens to be the dragon that blew steam at her the day before.
Oh.
And Violet's like, whoa, that dragon was scary as fuck. And she almost felt like the dragon had been assessing her specifically the day before. Like, she felt like they were making some sort of, like, eye contact.
Is she gonna bond with his dragon and take his dragon?
She can't do that.
Oh.
She remembers that Dane is a second year, and that means he's bonded a dragon, and therefore has a signet, which is a special power that you get after you bond a dragon. And he tells her that if he touches a person, he can read their recent thoughts. So he's kind of like a mind reader.
I would hate that.
It's super top secret, and it means that he'll probably be super valuable after graduation in the military. Then a bunch of people file into the room they're in, and she instantly sees Zayden staring daggers at her. He sees her standing next to Dane, and he calls them both out, being like, Dane, I know your parents were friends and you were childhood friends, but watch out, Atos. And Dane tells Violet to get the heck out of here. She has battle brief for her first class, where she learns about the armies and the current battles. So basically, battle brief is a daily class where they learn about where the armies are, who's attacking who, what the plans are, and then they have to give their input.
Okay.
They learn that some wards at their borders were breached by griffin riders, and there was an attack on the dragon riders. But Violet's confused to hear this because it was high up in a mountain range, and the griffins generally can't fly at that altitude. And also, the wards shouldn't be faltering. Eventually, classes are over and it's time for sparring. As she watches the first round of cadets beating the absolute shit out of each other, she makes a deal to help Sawyer, who's another first year, with history in exchange for tips on sparring. Then they watch Jack, who is sparring with someone, and right as they look at him, Jack snaps the guy's neck, killing him. So he kills someone else.
Yeah, he's the worst.
I don't like him. He just says, murder, murder, murder.
And now Violet's like, oh, fuck, this guy wants to kill me. And I just watched him murder another person.
Yeah.
You're toast, girl.
She's so brave, honestly. So brave.
For real.
Now it's Rhiannon's turn, and she absolutely kicks the guy's ass, and Violet's super impressed. Now Violet gets called up, and she's going to be fighting an angry girl with pink hair named Imogen.
Oh, I love that name.
Imogen, it's a great name. The girl instantly starts berating her for being the daughter of the general, and Violet sees the marks on her that signify she's one of the children of the rebels who her mom got executed. So she's in the same group as Zayden.
They all have like these weird, they're called relics, but they're like almost like a tattoo to just like show that they're the children of the rebels.
They start to spar, and Imogen begins beating her ass, but Violet doesn't want to yield, and she can feel her shoulder being dislocated. She's forced to tap out, but not before she feels the snap of bone.
Not her bone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Her bone. She's whisked away to the healers by Dane, and when she gets there, Nolan, who is one of the menders, is called and is super freaking pissed off to see that Violet is here and not in the scribe's quadrant, because he's mended Violet many times in the past, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? You're supposed to be a scribe.
I mean, yeah.
Dane tries again to plead for her to switch and go there instead, but Violet's like, no, I'm staying here. Just mend me. That night, it's bedtime, and Violet is mended, but she's still in a ton of pain. When she goes to bed, she feels something under her pillow. It's a journal with a letter to her in Mira's handwriting, telling her that the journal was Brennan's and he'd want her to have it. She's confused because she thought all of his belongings were burned when he was pronounced dead, but it's definitely his. So another thing that happens when a cadet or a writer dies, they just burn all your shit.
Everything. Every single thing that you have ever owned.
They're like, you actually didn't exist.
Oh my god.
But this book is basically a handbook on how to survive Bazgaiath. So he gave it to Mira when Mira was going through Bazgaiath, and now Mira's giving it to Violet. The book tells her that matches are assigned a week beforehand for sparring. So if she finds out beforehand, she can have a week to prepare for it. And now she's like, time. I can use this. Over the next week, she forages for her secret weapon. But on one particular night, she spots Zayden and Imogen having a secret meeting, and she's out in the woods foraging for whatever her secret weapon might be. Violet is stuck in a tree right above them, and then 24 more rebellion children gather around them.
Ah!
And all these people want to kill her.
Oh my god.
And it's also against the rules for more than 3 rebel children to gather alone.
Yeah, they can get executed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's trying to be as quiet as possible, and she can't hear what they're talking about. But what little she can hear is Zayden giving them tips on how to stay alive and not being singled out for being children of the rebels. One of the first years tells him he's having trouble in battle brief, and Zayden tells him to recite what they are told, but to learn everything they can. And now Violet's like, this doesn't seem like a threatening meeting. Like, it all seems very normal.
Huh.
Because she's always been told that the rebel children are, like, bad people, and she's like, this is a normal conversation.
Huh. Yeah, they just want help.
Yeah, he's just teaching them how to survive.
But then Violet is brought up, and Zayden's like, leave the youngest Sorengale to me. She's mine. And now Violet's like, oh, fuck this guy. And they start shit-talking General Sorengale for getting most of their parents killed. And Zayden's like, don't forget her brother Brennan. She has just as much reason to hate us as we do her.
True.
Then the meeting is concluded, and she's relieved that it seems like she's going to be able to escape this. She gets out of the tree, but she's immediately yanked against a hard chest, and then there's a dagger at her throat, and it's Zayden.
Zayden.
He tells her he commands shadows, and he knew she was up there the entire time. She gets a dagger out and pulls it on him, and he's like, oh wow, now I might have to actually kill you. And she goes to attack, but he just thinks it's funny.
Zayden.
Because he's like 6'4 or something.
Yeah, he's huge.
Hot. Why do I feel like this is the love interest?
I don't know. What about Dane?
I don't feel like it's Dane. I don't feel that in my bones.
But that's her childhood crush.
He's hot too, remember? Zayden sounds hot. You haven't even described this man to me, and he just sounds hot.
Maybe it's Jack.
It's not. I know that for a fact. I don't, but...
Okay. She throws a dagger at him, and he laughs when she misses, but just barely. Clearly intentionally. He smiles and uses his shadows to pluck the daggers up and bring them to him. And Violet's like, wow, he's beautiful and lethal. She's admiring him. He hands them back to her and tells her to show that trick to Jack Barlow. And now Violet's super confused as she puts her daggers back in their sheaths. He asks if she's planning on telling anyone about the meeting she witnessed, and she tells him she's not. She doesn't feel like they need to be punished just for a harmless meeting.
Yeah, I agree.
When she says this, he just says, interesting. And for now, he owes her a favor and walks off telling her to get in bed before her wing leader finds her missing. And he is the wing leader.
She's like, what do you mean?
A few days later, it's time for Violet's next sparring session, and it's with a guy named Oren, but she already knew that. She's been volunteering in the kitchens every morning and sprinkles some of her powdered forged plants into his scrambled eggs.
Why?
I don't know. During the first class, they learn about the dragons who will be available for bonding this year, and Jack immediately calls dibs on the black Morningstar tail. He's huge and deadly, and Violet's like, whoa, that dragon is scary as fuck. I hope Jack doesn't bond with him. But this dragon hasn't bonded anyone in the last 5 years, so it's not likely he'll choose anyone this year. So the dragons don't even have to bond with anyone. So, like, not only do the dragons not have to bond if they don't want to, there are more cadets than dragons. There could potentially be, like, all of them unbonded at the end of this, and if you don't bond, you have to start over.
Oh. Yeah. Can you back out of this program? Can you be like, oh, I don't want to do this?
No. And we learned that Sawyer is a first-year repeat, because he didn't bond last year.
So he had to do everything over again except for the parapet.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I feel like that's kind of shitty because, like, it's not their fault if they don't bond with a dragon.
But, like, it is because the dragons are watching you and analyzing you.
That's true.
And if they don't deem you worthy, then I guess you're not.
Yeah. But also, if there's less dragons than people, but I guess people are expected to die. Because I'm like, what about the people that are, like, left over?
They have to start over.
Yeah.
Or die.
Okay.
Or die.
Okay.
After this class, it's time for sparring. She notices Oren, and she also notices that he's looking a little green.
Oh.
Jack comes up and says he hopes she wins today so he can be the one to kill her when the time comes. So Violet throws a dagger at his head, just like she did with Zayden, which pisses Dane off, but Zayden is watching and she can swear she sees the hint of a smile from him. Then her name is called along with Oren's. Oren charges at her, but he's sluggish. They pull out their daggers, but Oren looks like he's about to throw up. He swings a knife at her, but falls, and she puts her dagger to his throat as he vomits. So she wins. He just keeps on throwing up, and she snatches his dagger because it's hers now. So when you win a sparring match, you get to keep the other person's dagger.
Oh, so you just like get to collect them?
Yep.
Yoink. She does the same thing the next week, and then the week after that, and then the week after that, and then the week after that. She's 5 for 5, but this week, the girl who was supposed to be on the sparring mat with her was feeling ill, and now she'll be fighting Zayden instead.
Oh.
So the girl got sick too soon, and she was like, I can't fight, and Zayden's like, I'll fight her.
Dang it.
Yeah. And Zayden looks stoked about this.
Oh, I'm sure.
He removes all of his blades, telling her he won't be needing them. She flings a dagger at him, but he catches it midair.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. She goes in for a kick, but he grabs it and she falls onto her back. She keeps fighting, but he just deflects everything she's got like she's just a little fly. Like he's just like, pew, pew, pew. Not even fazed. He twists her arm behind her back and holds one of her own daggers to her throat. He warns her not to trust anyone on this mat. He says it loud enough so that only she can hear. He lets her go and she keeps attacking, but nothing is working. She's getting mad now, and he flips her around onto the mat and has a knee in her ribs and holds another dagger to her throat, whispering that it's smart of her to take out the opponents early, but she needs to practice in combat. She's now down to 2 daggers, but is finally able to get up, and she kicks him in the back of the knees, and then they go rolling together on the ground. She takes out a dagger, but he grabs it and tosses it, telling her to get her last one, but the contact has her heart racing. He tells her to grab her last dagger, so she does, and his hand closes over hers.
Fire races along my skin at the feel of his fingers lacing with mine. Toxic, dangerous, wants to kill you. Nope, doesn't matter. My pulse still skitters like a teenager. You're tiny, he says it like an insult. Well aware, my eyes narrow. So stop going for bigger moves that expose you. He drags the tip of the dagger down his side. A rib shot would have worked just fine. Then he guides our hands around his back, making himself vulnerable. Kidneys are a good fit from this angle too. I swallow, refusing to think of other things that are a good fit at this angle. You wanna fuck him.
He tells her she can't poison every enemy she comes across, and now Dana's yelling that is quite enough, but Zayden tells her that Dana's holding her back and assures her that her little secret is safe with him, and then slides her blade back into the sheath, and she's like, damn, that was hella hot.
That was hot.
Sounds hot.
Sign me up. I'd be like, what are we?
And what are they? Sworn enemies.
Lovers.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At America's Best, we know your eyes do a lot. These eyes blink, wink, and roll.
These eyes tried to parallel park, then abandoned that idea.
These eyes spotted their ex across the grocery store, then pretended to compare pasta sauces.
These eyes fell asleep mid-scroll and liked a photo from 2014.
And these eyes know when it's time for an eye exam. America's Best. Every eye deserves better. Most vision insurance plans welcomed.
He tells her they're done for today. Violet wants to know what kind of game he's playing. Like, she's like, what the fuck is going on? Because he, like, wants to kill her, but he's also giving her advice and, like, keeping secrets for her.
Yeah,
it's weird. That would fuck with my head.
Later that night, she's in Dane's room while he rubs out her sore muscles. He's still warning her against Zayden, but she's really conflicted because he's had plenty of chances to kill her, but he never has. But Dane is, like, really, really concerned for her safety here and tells her he wants her to go to the Scribe Quadrant. This just annoys the shit out of Violet, but he tells her he can't lose her. There's 4 weeks left until threshing, and she's like, fine, I'll think about it. A few days pass, and now Violet is doing a death trap obstacle course, which is just like a thing that they have to do. They have an hour to make it through with their squad. Sawyer, one of the cool guys in the squad, goes first and makes it through almost flawlessly because he's done it before. Then Rhiannon goes and she makes it through too. Tynan, who is one of Jack's shitty friends, is working through it when it's Violet's turn to start. She makes it through without injury and Orly is right behind her. Orly is a friend of theirs, but just as she's about to reach the finish line, she falls down a cliff and dies.
Oh, man.
Her name is read off off on the death roll the next morning. Her parents opt not to collect her body, so she will be burned with all of her belongings at the burn pit.
Her parents said, no, no, no.
Since Violet was the last person to see her, she's taken it upon herself to burn Aurelie's things herself. On the way back from doing that, she sees three dragons flying in the sky, and then she sees Zayden, Bodhi, and Garrick. And Violet is in such turmoil. Like, she's like, fuck, if he wants to fucking fight right now, I'm in the mood for fighting. Zayden sends the other two guys away and confronts her and asks if she's going to ask where he's been since those were their dragons flying off, and she's like, I'm not in the mood for this. She asks if he's going to kill her or not because this whole back and forth is really getting on her nerves, and he says he doesn't know yet, and she's like, we'll figure it out. But then he just smiles.
What are you doing, Zayden?
He grabs her wrist and her heart stutters. He smells good, like mint and leather. She says she's probably gonna die before threshing, and then he won't even have to worry about killing her. And then he lets go of her wrist. She says coming here was a death sentence for her, and he tells her hope is a dangerous, fickle thing, and she needs to focus on the things that will kill her to stay alive. She's still here, and she's still defying the odds, and she swears she can feel his shadows caressing her. Because remember, he has the power of shadows.
Oh.
He's a shadow daddy.
He tells her she has everything she needs to make it through this. He walks away, and now Violet is super pissed off. The next day, she's practicing for the next gauntlet, which is the weird death trap obstacle courses, but she's too short to make it up the finish line. She doesn't think she can do this. She might die just like Aurelie, and maybe she should just run away to the scribe quadrant, but she wants to know if she has what it takes. Now it's almost presentation day, where they'll be completing the next gauntlet before threshing. Before it's time for Violet's squad to begin this gauntlet, Dane begs her again to run away to the scribe quadrant, but she's like, no, I am doing this. She makes it through to almost the very end, and she's climbing up a rope, and everyone is cheering her on, and Jack is like, die, bitch. But at the last climb, she's too short to accomplish. She cheats a little and uses her dagger to slam it into the wall and flings herself up and over, even though it pulls her shoulder out. But she made it.
Hell yeah.
And this is supposed to represent how they get on their dragons. And so everyone's like really pissed because like you can't stab your dragon with a dagger to get up. Her friends run and hug her, ecstatic that she figured out a way to make it, even though she was technically too small to be able to do so. But some of the bitches on the squad are pissed that she used foreign material to make it through. But Zayden's like, no, she made it through. So he's vouching for her now.
Zayden.
It's officially presentation day, and the dragons are lined up to judge everyone. They're warned not to approach any of the dragons or risk being burned to a crisp. Someone pops up asking if it's true there's a feather tail, and everyone's like, why would anybody want to bond a feather tail? They don't even bond. I bet it's just watching out of curiosity.
Is feather tail the big one? Like the big skin? Okay.
That's a morning star tail.
Okay.
So they're literally just supposed to walk out into a meadow one at a time, not make eye contact, and let the dragons observe them and then come back. Violet starts down the path with Rhiannon past each of the dragons while they just kind of chit chat. They spot a small golden dragon watching them with a feather tail, and one of Jack's friends is like, ew, who would want to bond with that thing? Yuck.
So mean.
Burn him.
He says that this dragon and Violet are both hella weak, so maybe they should bond. And he even suggests they should kill it before it gets to bond because it'll just be the weakest link in battle. They keep on walking, and one of the dragons scorches the dude saying all the dumb shit, so they just keep going, feeling insignificant and scared.
Good.
That's what you get.
Then Violet feels a warm huff of breath on the back of her neck. Two green dragons are right behind her. She freezes, and one of them nudges her hand, and the other sniffs her chest. They chuff like they're having a little dragon conversation, so she starts talking to them, and she tells them she's Mira's sister, and some of her armor is made of Mira's dragon's scales, so she probably smells like them. And it seems like they're like, oh, this girl's cool, and they let her leave.
I would have shit myself.
Yeah.
I think she almost did.
Like, I would have Dookie running down my leg.
October 1st is always threshing. So they just had their little meet and greet with the dragons.
And threshing is like the ultimate test at the end. It's like their graduation almost, basically saying that they made it and that they can now claim the dragons that they just saw.
Okay.
So they're going to go into this big ass field, and there's going to be dragons everywhere, and everyone's going to fight to the death or claim a dragon.
Okay.
During the test, dragon after dragon has passed Violet, and she still hasn't felt the pull or the connection from any of them. She's decided to make the climb to overlook the valley to get an aerial view to see if she has any strong pull towards any certain dragon. When she sees the bright golden dragon that she saw during the presentation. It's that small little feather tail.
Is that the cute one?
That's the cute one.
She gets down to scope it out on foot, and she hears multiple voices, and she knows that that's wrong because the test should be done solo. It's none other than Tynan, Oren, and Jack Barlow. And she realizes that after hearing them, that they're trying to hunt down and kill the feather tail.
That's so fucked up. That can't be allowed. They can't kill a dragon.
They don't care.
No. No, they're fucking ruthless murderers. Violet immediately went into crisis mode and without a second thought knew that she needed to try to warn and save the golden dragon. The golden dragon just turned its head to look to the side at Violet, and she's just like looking Violet up and down, inspecting her, and she's like, hey Goldie, if you can fly, breathe fire, do whatever, just do it now because these boys are about to kill you. But the dragon does nothing. Violet feels very protective over this dragon. Just because it's smaller and weaker does not mean that it deserves to die.
Like her.
Just like her.
Yeah.
She steps in front of Goldie, making herself known to Jack and the other two boys, and she tells them that they can't kill this dragon. It goes against everything that they stand for. And because they're shitheads, they raise their swords. Before they take a step forward, she hears a familiar voice saying, I would strongly suggest you rethink your actions. And it's Zayden.
Yes, daddy.
Behind him is his ginormous navy blue dagger-tail dragon, Sigil. Unfortunately, though, there's nothing that Zayden can do in the situation, as he is not allowed to interfere during threshing. Jack lunges for Violet, and she fucks him up, putting a dagger in the muscle of his arm, making him completely immobile. And like the little bitch he is, he orders his friends to kill Violet and then turns and runs away.
Pussy.
Tynan strikes Violet in the arm along the bone, and Zayden screams for her to check behind her, just as Oren is about to behead her. But just before the blow lands, Goldie snaps her jaws in front of him, and Violet takes his stunned second to knock him unconscious. Tynan was pissed that Zayden said something, but technically he didn't step in, he just warned her. Now Tynan and Violet are duking it out, and they are both bleeding all over the place. Tynan has the upper hand because he's way bigger than her and stronger, but just before he lands his killing blow, she sees Zayden take one step forward as if he was just about to actually interfere during threshing. Before he actually does anything though, they're both saved by a huge gust of wind, and she sees the biggest dragon she's ever seen in her entire life land on the field. He's standing over the golden one with one enormous scarred black wing tucked under the golden one. Oh. It is the unbonded black dragon that the Professor Kaori showed them in class. That was the only black dragon who did not agree to bond this year and has not been seen for the past 5 years.
That's the one that Jack's like, I want that one. The big scary black one.
Was it coming to protect the gold one?
Yeah, he like put his wing over her and was like, you're safe with me, little pal.
Stop. So cute.
See, he's cute, Charlotte. He's not. He's a grumpy old man. I love him to death. He's a
misunderstood big guy.
I don't think he's misunderstood.
He speaks a lot. He definitely speaks his mind.
Yeah.
The dragon speaks to Violet and he says, step aside, Silver One, and then blasted Tynan to ash.
She better claim that dragon, does she?
Well, he speaks to her, so she's like, oh, fuck. This dragon just spoke to me. When a dragon speaks to them, that's basically them claiming the human.
And it's like in your head.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't just talk to them unless they claim you.
So now that he spoke to her, she could like walk up to him and be like, this is my dragon.
Yeah, pretty much, kind of. They're temperamental, but like because he spoke to her, he's like, that's my bitch. And she's like, that's my bitch. They're homies now.
What a great pair, though. A small little weak girl and a big-ass dragon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This dragon, he's like, ew, like you're bleeding all over the place. Do you do that often? Like, can you stop doing that?
He's a sassy man.
He is a sassy guy.
Don't touch me.
Once he's happy that she's not bleeding all over the place, he tells her to get on his back, and it really registers for her that he chose her. The golden dragon steps out from under his wing and then flies into the sky, and Violet is like, what the fuck? This dragon could fly the whole time?
He said, I just want to scare ya. Make some
I love for the drama.
She takes a seat on her dragon and he introduces himself after he makes his leg as a ramp for her as Terranok, but she can call him Terran, and he shoots them into the sky. And this is kind of like a big deal because dragons don't placate for anyone. So the fact that he even just made his little leg into a ramp speaks a lot on his character.
Yeah. What a sweet guy.
Because they're just supposed to be able to run and jump. The dragons aren't supposed to make accommodations.
emotions for their writers.
He said, I can sense you're weak.
But I like you.
Yeah, he said, there's something about you. You're weak, but you're trying.
You got moxie, girl.
Yeah.
As they're flying, he's too big and too fast, and she's too small and too weak. So he banks left, and the next thing that she knows, she's free falling.
Oh, fuck.
Because these dragons are absolutely massive. Like, they're not dragon tails dragons.
It's like an airplane.
Yeah. She's just holding on. Like spiky airplanes.
Jesus Christ. Sounds absolutely terrifying.
She's free falling and Taryn says, psych! And then catches her gently. But he does tell her that she's making him look really bad and to stop falling off of him. And she's like, I'm trying.
She's like, do you see me?
She tells him that she's not as strong as the other riders. And he's like, I know exactly who and what you are. And then he uses his magic to hold her in place and then does loop-de-loops in the air to show them off.
Look at me. Look at us up here.
They land on the field with all eyes on them. The little golden dragon lands safely on the field too. And Violet dismounts Taryn and he makes a little slide for his leg and she just slides off of him.
All the other riders are probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other dragons actually are making like huffing noises, almost like making fun of her, and Taryn tells her not to worry about it and validated his choice in her again because he's a king and we love him. Violet walks up to the golden dragon and tells her that she's glad that she made it, but maybe next time someone tries saving her, she should fly off. And Goldie responds in her head by saying, maybe I was saving you.
Uh-oh.
Violet's like, Goldie, you're not supposed to speak to anyone that's not your rider. You're gonna get in trouble. Violet goes up to the role keeper with her mother and General Melgrin, and everyone is shook because Violet just claimed the biggest, baddest dragon. Violet gives his official full name, officially claiming Taryn as Violet's. Then she hears a sweet, second, high-pitched voice in her head saying, and Andarna Urim. Andarna for short. She's claimed both dragons.
Unheard of.
Oh my goodness! So she has the little gold one and the big one?
Yeah, so the big one, Taryn, and then the small one, Andarna.
Suck it, everyone.
Fuck you. She should just walk out, middle fingers up. Fuck you. I got two, bitch.
Just go up and fart in Jack Barlow's face.
Yeah. Where's your dragon, idiot?
Not even a fart, a queef.
Yeah.
Just lift it and
just
queef.
Just queef in his face. Imagine, what a power move.
Yeah. Just a little...
So when Violet bonds both dragons, all hell breaks loose. This has never been heard of whatsoever over dragonkind. Violet's getting her wounds sewn together, but stupid ass bitch Jack Barlow is a couple beds down. Unfortunately, he made it through threshing when he bonded an orange scorpion tail.
Bitch.
Violet makes it back to Taryn and Andarna, and Taryn tells her that the Imperium, who's like the dragon government basically, is meeting in regards to Violet's dual bonding. Taryn tells Violet to stay with the wing leader while they're away. And the wing leader is Zayden. And Violet's like, he must have meant the squad leader, who's Dane. And Taryn's like, in her head, he's like, nope, sure didn't. I did not say that.
They're connected at all times mentally now.
Oh, wow. So even when he's not there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Besties, they're linked for life.
Cute.
Thankfully, Violet sees Riddick, Rhiannon, and Sawyer, and they all rejoice until Dane ruins it by pulling her away. Dane tells her they're gonna make her pick a dragon, and she must pick Andarna. Does she trust him? If she does, she has to pick Andarna. She's the safer choice. She's not strong enough to bear a rider, so she can be a teacher, and she doesn't have to worry about war, and she won't be able to ride Taryn, so don't even think about him.
Shut up, Dane.
Dane's kind of pissing me off now. I know he means well, but like... obviously, she can hold her own. She's shown that she can make it through.
How many dragons do you have, Dane? One? That's what I thought.
Just one Weasley dragon?
Yeah. Dane tells her that if she chooses Taryn, that Zayden will get her killed. And she's like, best friend, say what? What does this have to do with Zayden at all? And he tells her that Taryn and Sigel, who's Zayden's dragon, are a mated pair. Where Sigel goes, Taryn goes, and they can't be separated or else they get sick. Dane goes crazy psycho boy and thinks that Zayden manipulated threshing and tries to get Violet to ride the crazy train with him. And then Zayden steps out of the shadows. He's like, no, you fucking bimbo. Did you ever cross your mind that maybe my dragon saw it too and told Taryn what was happening, that they were going to kill Andarna? Zayden asked Dane if roles were reversed and he was the one that was standing on that field, would he risk saving Violet? And Dane straight up said, no, sorry, but rules are rules. After Dane left, Zayden dropped the bomb that because their dragons are so powerful and the mating bond is so strong, that if either one of them die, it is highly likely that both of them will die. When Taren lost his last rider, it nearly killed Taren, which nearly killed Sigil. So when a dragon dies, the rider dies. So it'll pretty much be like a chain reaction. All the dragons land from the Imperium, and the dragons decided that Violet is able to keep both of her dragons. Heat rushes up her back as her dragons branded her with a relic, and it's kind of like a tattoo, but their powers eventually conduit energy through it, and Dane rushes up to Violet and cups her face, saying like, oh my god, you kept both of your dragons, I'm so happy for you.
Get off me, bitch.
And Darna shows Violet her tattoo through her eyes, and the tattoo on her back shows a black dragon relic mid-flight from her shoulder to shoulder, and in the middle of her back is a glistening golden dragon, officially marking her as both their rider.
It's so cute.
Aww.
Dane is caressing her cheek, telling her he would do anything to keep her safe, and he needs her to know how he really feels about her.
His mouth is on mine. His lips are soft, but the kiss is firm, and delight races at my spine. After years, Dane is finally kissing me. No, that's not who I want her to kiss.
The kiss breaks, and she's like, brother, ooh.
She's like, you're like a brother to me.
You're such a good friend, Dane.
She's like, so I'm gonna go.
That was nice. Thank you.
Let's never do this again. The next day, they go to lunch and everyone is hella fucking weird. Violet is officially the head bitch in charge because she just bonded the biggest, baddest dragon ever and the second one on top of that and is no longer the bottom of the food chain. Imogen and Quinn, who are 2 second years, who pretty much hated them until now. Imogen was one that popped her shoulder out the first time that she ever fought. Even sat with them during lunch and they gave him the whole rundown on what's going on. Imogen is even now going to be training with Violet every single day. Of course, not on her own accord, but on the orders of Zayden. In flight class, they're training to stay in their seat on their dragon, and Violet absolutely just cannot do it. Time after time, she just keeps falling. She can't stay in her seat. After class, Dane caught up to her before meeting with Imogen, and he tells her the kiss shouldn't have happened. At first, she's relieved because she's like, whew, he knew that felt weird too, but he said, no, they can't do it because he's in a position of leadership and that's frowned upon.
It's against the rules.
He says, I'm your boss.
Dang it.
And she's like, you're literally giving me the ick. You are such a goody two-shoe. Violet goes to the scribe quadrant, and she runs into her longtime friend, Jesenia, who just made it as a first-year scribe. She asked Jesenia if they had a copy of The Fables of the Baron, which is a book that her dad used to read to her about the wyvern and the venin. And Jesenia looked through all the archives and could not find one book of that title. She even cross-referenced wyvern and venin and found nothing. Violet goes to the lunchroom after, and they find that Sawyer started channeling powers from his dragon. He can manipulate metals, and he is the first of their friends to manifest powers. Everyone will do it at different times, and it depends on how powerful the dragon is. The more powerful the dragon, the more powerful the signet. If it takes longer than 6 months for them to manifest their powers, the magic can consume them. After another failed flight class, Dane angrily rushes up to Violet, and he loses his shit because he didn't know that Violet still couldn't keep her seat. And Taren is like, this boy better sit back or else I'm gonna char him to barbecue.
Do it. Char him.
Dane told her that even being bonded to the strongest dragon of their year, he's still terrified that she won't make it. So she tells him that the reason why they'll never be able to be more than friends is because he's never had any faith in her and basically told him to kick rocks.
Good.
Violet storms away to meet back with Rhiannon when someone screams in the field. A kid from their year manifested his signet. He got the only deadly kind, an Intiznik, where he can read minds, like, out loud, which is, like, an immediate death sentence. So Professor Carr, who is the main professor where everyone goes once their power manifests, walks up to the field and immediately snaps the kid's neck.
And wait, why again is that?
Because they can't control him.
Yeah, they have no way to control his signet, so he can hear everybody in the vicinity, every thought that they're thinking right at this moment, and he just starts blurting them.
Oh, okay.
Violet's dreaming of being in the archives with her dad when she hears Taren's voice urging and screaming at her to wake up before she dies. She opens her eyes and rolls just in time to barely miss the nick of the sword that graced her dragon-scaled armor on her back. There are 4 unbonded men and 2 unbonded women in Violet's room attempting to kill her and to take Taren, Orin being one of them.
What makes them think Taren would even take them?
So that's a thing. So the unbonded cadets, before the year is up, they can kill another rider
to see if that dragon will bond them instead for being, like, stronger.
Mm. But I feel like if they would have do that to her, Tiernan would not. Mm-mm.
Taryn's not that dragon. He, oh no, he's freaking the fuck out right now. And because of this, she's, like, public enemy number one because she has the biggest, baddest dragon, so everyone wants to fucking kill her.
Poor girl. She just has a target on her back at all times.
All time.
Violet's trying to fight everyone off as Oren grabs her by the throat and lifts her off of her feet. Taryn tells her to hold on, that he's almost there, just as her vision starts seeing black. He lets go of her for a second, just for his hands to be replaced by a metal blade, and then her door splinters open. She doesn't get a chance to see who it is before she heard Andarna scream in her mind, "Mine!" And then everything froze. Violet's like, "What the fuck?" and quickly steps out of Oren's hold and goes to the only open spot in the room. She sees Zayden standing there, frozen by the door, with a murderous look in his eyes, him being the big boom before everything stopped, and then time resumes. Zayden now sees Violet away from Oren and tells everyone in the room that they are all fucking dead. His shadows creep up and wrap around everyone's neck in the room and kills them all except Oren. Zayden looks over at Violet and his eyes stay on the bruises already forming on her throat from his hands, and then slashes Oren's throat.
Oh.
Garrick and Vodi come by now to help Zayden get rid of all the bodies, and Zayden checks on Violet's injuries. She allows him to help her out of her armor that she always wears to see if her ribs are broken.
I know how to handle a corset. His jaw flexes once, and something that reminds me of raw hunger flickers across his expression before he locks it down, drawing my hair over my shoulder with surprising gentleness. His fingers skim my bare skin and I suppress a shiver, locking my muscles so I don't arch into his touch.
Do it. Arch into his touch.
Thankfully, Pookie's fucked up, but she's okay. He laces her corset back up and then drops to his knees.
What are you doing?
At first, she's like, what the fuck? But then her brain catches up and she realizes that he's just putting on her shoes for her.
Oh, okay.
And then he's tugging her out of her room. He trucks her all the way to the field to meet with her dragons, and he needs to know what the hell is going on. Taryn tells him that it's none of his concern what he does or does not channel to Violet. And when Violet went to go translate, Zayden's like, yeah, I can hear him. And Violet's like, whoa, how can you hear my dragon? And again, this goes back to how everyone's bonded. Zayden can hear Taryn. Violet can hear Sigale. Everyone can, like, pretty much hear each other, except for Violet can only hear Andarna.
Okay.
And it's only when Taryn and Sigale want to share their thoughts.
Andarna speaks up, and she tells Violet that that power was her. She stopped time.
Oh, cool.
There's a balance to everything, and that's why Feathertails don't bond, because they can accidentally give their powers to humans, and it can kill the dragon. Andarna was careful and gave her gift directly to Violet during the attack, because she's a Feathertail still. And Violet was like, wait, what do you mean still? And that's when it clicked to Andarna that she's still a hatchling. So Andarna's not even a full dragon. She's only 2 years old.
Oh, she's a baby.
Yeah. That's why she's so tiny. She's like literally a baby.
A baby dragon.
There's no telling how long her and Violet will have this gift for, because most Feathertail's gifts disappear with maturity. And also this gift is like a huge deal because it's never been heard of. Like no one's ever been able to stop time. Zayden promised Violet not to tell anyone about Andarna's time stopping ability, and then asked how they even got into her room. She was reluctant to tell him because there's no way he will believe her. She doesn't even believe it herself. It's the next day, and Zayden pulls Dane aside and tells him that there's been a change to the squad role. They swapped out one of the new people they just absorbed for Liam Mari. He has blonde hair, blue eyes, and a huge rebellion relic, and it looks like he's just about to be Violet's new bodyguard.
Oh.
Pancheck takes the podium and grabs the codex and asks the accuser to step forward. Zayden steps up to the podium and says Violet was attacked in her sleep, which is against the codex, by a group of unbonded writers who was led by wing leader Amber Mavis, and she's to answer for her crimes. And she's besties with Dane. The crowd goes wild. Dane threw a huge ass hissy fit and demanded Violet to go up there and tell everyone that Zayden is lying, because Amber would never do that. And he's like screaming in front of all the crowd. Like he's like, she's lying! She tries telling Dane that she was literally attacked and it was Amber, but still, he's not listening. He steps forward, reaching his hand out for her face and demanded to see her memories. She was shocked and she forgot that Dane had the power to do that and that he was literally about to use it it without her permission. She couldn't let him see her memories because then he could see her stop time and would risk Andarna, and she would not do that. Everyone who's involved, their dragons came down, and Violet asked Taryn if he could see her memories and if he could share them with the other dragons. He told her it was possible, but it's never really been done outside the mating bond because it's very intimate. But because of the situation with Andarna, Taryn agrees and shows everyone what Amber did. The vote was unanimous and Amber's to be executed by fire, and it was over before it began. Taryn blew one big fireball and then Amber was ash.
Damn.
And I bet Dane felt hella stupid. The next day, Violet and Liam are in the archives picking up scrolls for the professor when Liam is shamelessly flirting with Jacinia and they have a cute little bonding time. We find out that Liam and Zayden aren't just besties, they're foster brothers. And that Liam's sister Sloane was separated from him, but they'll be able to see Sloane next year when she enrolls to be a writer. Another thing Violet had no knowledge of was there was a deal made that every single child of the Rebellion were allowed to live, but only if they were forced to be enrolled in the writer's quadrant. So they weren't allowed to be scribes or healers or anything. They had to be writers. There are 107 children who carry the Rebellion relics, and the oldest being Zayden, the youngest being almost six now, who was born with the mark. They left the archives and are making their way back to bring the scrolls back to the professor when one rolls out and Violet reads it. And it's about one of the villages and the people being attacked and ransacked. And they were like, oh, I can't wait to learn about this in battle brief. But when the class came up, they said that nothing happened that night and they never covered it at all. So they're just like wondering what they're actually hiding from everyone now. Some really sketchy stuff's going on. It's another day and Violet looks over as her and Rhiannon are in the middle of sparring and they start drooling because Zayden and Garrick are sparring shirtless.
Every edge of Zayden's body is honed like a weapon, all sharp lines and barely leashed power. His Rebellion relic twists around his upper body and stands out against the deep bronze of his skin, accentuating every punch he throws. And his stomach, I mean, how many muscles are there in the abdominals? His are so rigidly defined that I could probably count every single one if the rest of him wasn't so damn distracting. My mouth waters at the muscled expanse of his back and that sculpted ass.
At this point, Violet has no shame and is straight up drooling and daydreaming.
I am shamelessly wondering how his skin would feel under my fingertips, how my body would react to having every ounce of that intense focus on me.
Same girl.
Yeah.
Dane gets jealous and breaks the girls up from oogling. As Violet and Rhi are fighting, Taryn gets really loud in Violet's head that causes her to break focus, and Rhi ends up body slamming her to the ground, causing her to get the wind knocked out of her. And Jack Barlow starts bullying her, per usual, and tries fighting her one-on-one there, but she doesn't cave into it. Violet and Zayden get into a little argument, since of course Jack challenged her and she's not wearing her dragon skill armor. As he turns to walk away, he's still shirtless, and she notices his entire back is covered in neatly raised silver scars. She hears Taryn say, Violet held her own and checked her temper. And then Andarna chimed in and said, Violet is ready. A few hours later, Violet is in her room brushing her hair when she felt a jolt of power rush through her. It's excruciating, and for a second, she thinks it's going to overtake her until she surrenders to it until the pain ebbs. She opens her door to go tell Rhiannon that she started channeling their powers when an overwhelming sensation of need slammed through her. Liam was outside her door and was like, you okay, shawty? And she's like straight up about to start riding his face. Like, she's so horny. She's like, I am going to hump you. But she knows that he won't scratch that itch because he's not Zayden. And she also realizes that these feelings and these needs are Taryn's emotions that are overwhelming her. And then she just books it outside to get some fresh air.
So Taryn's all horny for Segale.
Yeah.
He said, where's my lady dragon?
How do they even have sex?
Doggy style.
Dragon style.
Dragons.
I'm picturing like the noises they would make. Mm.
Yeah, it'd be very scary to stumble upon.
Yeah. Yeah. They just blow little spurts of fire as they're doing it.
Guess who she meets outside when she just needs air?
Zayden.
Yeah, and you know what? He's really affected by Taryn Segale too. He's smoking the Basgaioth equivalent to pot.
Okay. A little doobie.
But he's feeling hella horny too.
He's like, are you feeling this? Fuck.
She has a moment of clarity where she knows that Taryn's lust is most definitely making her hella soaked, but the emotions that she feels for Zayden is all her and she wants him bad. She was almost brought to her knees by Taryn's sheer force of lust, and Zayden caught her by the waist, told her since she hasn't attended classes yet and she doesn't know how to shield Taryn out, he will teach her, but only if she asks him nicely.
Zayden, I smile sweetly up at him and inched a little closer. Would you pretty please teach me how to shield before I accidentally climb you like a tree and we both wake up with regrets?
Do it.
Climb him.
Climb that man.
He said, don't worry about me, baby, but sure, since you asked nicely. And then cradles both of her cheeks in his hands and teaches her how to shield. She pictures her mental home that's grounding her as the archives, and she was able to do it the first time, which is very impressive and made Zayden want her super bad.
Damn it. Touching you is a bad idea. The worst, I agree, but my tongue skims my lower lip. He groans and my core melts at the sound. Kissing you would be a cataclysmic mistake.
What a word. She says, yup, for sure.
Yeah.
They're both hot and bothered and know that they'll both regret it. But Violet tells Zayden that that's a future me problem.
Fuck it. One second he's out of reach and the next his mouth is on mine. Hot and insistent. Gods, yes. This is exactly what I need. I'm trapped between the immovable stone of the wall and the hard lines of Zayden's body, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be. The thought should sober me, but all I do is lean in for more. He tunnels a hand through my hair, cradling the back of my head, angling me for a deeper kiss, and my lips part eagerly. He takes the invitation, sliding his tongue along mine with expert teasing strokes that have me clutching at his chest, fisting the material of his shirt to pull him closer as desire dances up and down my spine.
Ooh, they smooching.
They smooching.
He has a cute little nickname that he calls her, and you know, her name's Violet. He calls her Violence.
Oh, that's cute.
So he moans her nickname Violence, and in her head, she begs him that she needs him closer, and as if he could read her thoughts, he ravishes her, and she wraps her legs around his hips, and he pushes her up against the wall, and they're having a hot, heavy, sexy makeout session that I, for one, am very jealous of.
I mean, just the little bits that I read. I'm barking. Woof, woof.
We're a tangle of tongues and teeth, questing lips and hands as the snow falls around us and the kiss consumes me the same way the power had before so thoroughly. I can feel it in every cell in my body. Need pulses between my thighs and I jolt at the simple knowledge that there's nothing he could do that I wouldn't welcome.
Put your penis in her.
Fucker.
Yeah.
Violet completely surrenders to him in a flash of lightning and then a boom of thunder follows behind and she's like, yup. And that's how I feel right now. But Zayden breaks apart and he steps away and tells Violet that she needs to go back to her room because this lust isn't theirs and it's not right because he's a chivalrous king.
Oh, boo. Do the wrong thing.
Even though it felt right though, she agrees and she goes back to her room. The next day, Violet spills the beans to Rhiannon and Rhiannon tells her that she missed something important too. And she's like, watch this. And then just like summons something from her room. She's like, I'm a summoner.
Look what I could do.
Yeah. She just can see, like picture something like a book and then just like bring it to her. While walking to class, bestie Liam gives Violet a cutesy little wooden Taryn that he whittled for her out of wood, which is like super cute. I had to recreate it. Because every time that they're with each other, he's always whittling things out of wood and their little like figurines.
What a little gem.
Dane rushes up to Violet asking to speak to her and his feelings are hurt because she asked Taryn to show her the memory instead of just letting Dane see it. And she's like, you didn't even ask. You demanded to see it. They get in a little fight and he does apologize, which is nice of him. And they hash out a little bit, but still, Dane tells her not to trust Zayden because he's hiding something from her.
What are you hiding, Dane?
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
These are the sounds of not seeing things clearly. This is the sound of trying to unlock the wrong car. This, the sound of brushing your teeth with anti-itch cream. Okay. This is what walking face-first into a glass door sounds like. And this is the sound of getting your eyes checked at America's Best.
Is one or two better? Three or four?
Where you get the care you need at a great value. America's Best. Every eye deserves better.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Violet's in her first day of Professor Carr's class when we find out that her sister Mira can manifest the wards around her, and her brother, her late brother Brennan, was a mender, which is extremely rare. December turns to January and Violet still has not manifested her signet, and she sneaks out in the middle of the night to see the challenge board, and the next day she is set to fight Jack. So Jack has a chance to kill her tomorrow. The only rules for the fight is to tap out, knock out, and absolutely no wielding. They start fighting, and of course, shocker, Jack is playing dirty. She gets him down by kicking him in the balls and tells him to tap out, but he won't. He throws his dagger and it lodges right in her arm, and he takes that moment to punch her in the face, and then he grabs her face in both of his hands and uses his signet power on her, and she was like electrocuted. She was like her vision's going in and out, and she only sees his creepy-ass smile and red-rimmed eyes. Before she goes unconscious, she takes a vial from her pocket and crushes it against his teeth and not succumbing into the darkness until she hears wheezing and he lets go. Violet wakes up in the healer's quadrant with an angry, stressed-out Zeta next to her who just says, "Oranges? You turned oranges into a weapon?"
Because Jack's allergic, so she gave him an allergic reaction.
There you go. Yeah. Fuck it.
Zayden was pissed that she almost died, so he's taking over all of her training now. And the next time that they're on the mats, he gifted her all of these daggers that he got made, and they all have runes on them. And they're strapped all over his body, and all she has to do is disarm him, and then they're hers. This makes her super warm and fuzzy, and he tells her what happened between them was a mistake, and it will never happen again, and that really killed the mood for her. But she doesn't really care, because she's still pushing his boundaries.
With the final blade secured, Zayden throws his palms to the mat and shoves with unnatural strength, arching us straight back until my spine kisses the mat again. I suck in a breath, the move shocking me to my toes and lodging him firmly between my thighs. It takes everything I have not to arch up against him and see if he really thinks that kiss was a mistake.
Do it.
February passes and it's March now. Violet still has no signet, and Violet and Zayden are going to the flight fields when they run into Pancheck, Mr. Eidos, and Violet's mom. They ask about Andarna, which is an immediate shutdown, and then General Sorengale asks questions on Zayden's character. Zayden tells Violet's mom that they should have resolved if he was loyal or not years ago, and they all go about their day. Zayden noticed how strained Violet and her mother's relationship was. Violet asks Zayden about what was going on with Zayden and her mom, and he doesn't answer her at all. He, like, totally adverts the question. He's like, boundaries, violence. It's the next portion of squad battle, and their task is to find and acquire by any means necessary one thing that would be the most beneficial for their enemies. If they win the task, it would put them into first place. And Violet immediately was like, information is the most important key. So they decide to break into her mom's office, and they find a map that has all of their active posts, supply routes, troops, and borders. And she said, hey guys, I know what we have to steal. They managed to make it back to the battle brief room just before time ran out. And when it was time for them to present, mayhem broke loose. She told them that they stole it from General Sorengale's office. Zayden locks eyes with Violet and smiles and tips an imaginary hat to her. Their prize for winning first place is them being able to go into an actual live outpost called Montserrat for a week. Rhiannon is acting hella weird because her family lives like a 5-minute flight. They have like a little bestie communication and they already know that they're going to sneak out together. Mira is there because she's working at the outpost and they have a little emotional sister embrace. It's 2 days later when Violet and Rhiannon sneak out and immediately get caught by Mira. Violet ends up trusting and telling her sister what they're going to do and Mira goes with them. Violet and Mira catch up on everything and tells her about how Dane's been a baby back bitch and how Zayden saved her that night and Mira still has zero trust in him. Mira decided to make Violet's night by telling her she saved her favorite book, The Fable and the Baron, and then decided it's time to head back to the post. Violet and Mira were outside waiting for Rhiannon to come out when Violet asked Mira if she's ever been stationed with riders with mated pairs and wonder how long they can be separated for. And then Zayden steps out of the shadow and says, apparently 3 days max.
Oh.
So they have to see each other at least every 3 days.
Zayden and Violet do?
Well, technically, Taryn and Scale have to see each other. Okay. So.
Huh.
The next day, everyone is split into two groups. One group is on patrol, and the second is going over a training scenario with Mira about a theory of an outpost being attacked. There's tension everywhere, but especially from Mira and Dane towards Zayden. So they're almost like ganging up on him.
Mm.
Zayden is in her head sharing his thoughts, just like Sigail and Taryn do with her. So he's mind to mind.
Oh,
that's how you know.
Yeah, they're one.
And she like looks at him in shock and he's like, I wish I tried it sooner. It was a theory. Pretty cool. The theoretical battle discussion ends and Mira dismisses everyone but Violet, Dane, and Zayden and then lays into each of them, telling them to figure their fucking shit out. Then Taryn bellows that there are griffins on the way. They have 20 minutes and Mira tells Violet to leave with the other cadets. All the cadets mount their dragons and take off, but Violet tells Zayden she can't leave Mira behind and she wants to call in her favor of him to help the outpost, but he shuts her up by kissing her.
Yes. Yes.
When he breaks away from the kiss, she realizes it was a distraction for Taryn, and Zayden lifts her arms and her dragon carries her away. So he only kissed her to shut her up to get Taryn to take her away from there.
He saved her.
I mean, he did save her. He did.
With a super hot kiss.
Oh. Yeah, and what is she going to do with her weak-ass joints and muscles?
Get yeah, here, not Violet. Fight griffins.
Also, I found out Rebecca Yarros has Ehlers-Danlos.
Oh, so she's Violet in real life. Oh
yeah, like she's writing for the inclusivity.
It's been 2 days since the outpost attack, and she hasn't heard anything about Mira. She doesn't care about her library duty, formation. She literally just sits outside of one of the professor's office to hear any news at all about the outpost. When she hears footsteps approach, she thinks it's the professor, but it's Zayden bringing her coffee, which I was like, oh, that's nice.
That is nice.
Cookie.
They have a momentary truce, and he lets her know just how he feels and when he realized he didn't want to kill her anymore. He admits that he wants to do more than just kiss her.
When did he not want to kill her anymore? What was that turning point for him?
I feel like when she was saying that she wouldn't tell on him for the meeting with all of the other rebel children. Yeah, he was like, oh, you're cool. You're cool.
You're not a narc. I could fuck you.
Dane approaches and she tries to use the same mental connection to speak to Zayden, but as soon as she tries, the professor is right behind them. She demands answers and he lets her know that the outpost was damaged, but no riders were lost. And she feels like she's about to collapse when Dane pulls her into a hug. They break apart and Zayden is gone.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Dane.
The days blur together. She's back in her routine and mentally asks Zayden questions about himself. So they got this little mental connection going on now.
They're just like texting in their minds.
Yeah.
I love that.
Fast forward, it's mid-May. Violet still doesn't have her signet and they are approaching the battle games. Zayden is being really secretive and Dane is still being really weird towards her. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? The battle game she learns is when the fourth wing team and the other teams will play their individual strengths to pass their flag off and never giving any other wing a chance to see who has it. So when they approach the field to the dragons, she sees that there is a saddle on Taryn's back. And remember, they ride these dragons bareback, but she can't keep the seat because he's so fucking big and she's so weak. So she's like, what's going on? This is not allowed. And Taryn says that he decides what's allowed. Zayden approaches her and tells her she better use it since he worked with Taryn to design it for her. So Zayden had it made for her.
What a hottie.
She wants to argue with Zayden, but he says in her head,
his body goes rigid for one beat, two, and then he spins us impossibly fast, putting my back against the door, jostling the frame. Whoa. He captures my wrists in one hand and holds them prisoner above my head. Violet, Zayden groans against my mouth.
Yeah.
He's so hot.
He's so hot.
So hot.
She ends up thanking him and he says that his favor's now fulfilled. He walks away and then Andarna bounds up wanting to join the games. Violet makes her roll in the mud to hide the color because she's obviously a target and the games begin. As they fly and break formation to bank left, she spots a gray tower and three dragons launch into the sky. Liam, Rhiannon, and Violet are all separated and ice pelts Violet's skin. Violet knows from where they turn and she's now alone from Liam and Rhiannon that they're keeping the fourth egg somewhere in that gray tower. She lets Zayden know mentally and he tells her that they're on their way just as she spots Liam and Jack's dragon locked in battle. Taryn is almost to them when they see Jack unsheathing his sword and jumping to Liam's dragon's back to run his sword through his side. So Jack's going full murderous rampage still. After he stabs Liam, he goes back to his own dragon and Violet and Taryn plummet to save save Liam. She begs Andarna, and the baby dragon agrees. She tells her to stop time. They collect Liam, and then time restarts. Violet is living rage now, and Rhiannon arrives to take Liam's body as Violet and Taryn finish the game. She unsheathes her own dagger and readies herself to undo her saddle buckles, but Taryn tells her not to leave her fucking seat. She feels her blood boiling with power and decides if she's gonna die from it, she'll just take Jack out with her. She throws her hands out, hoping to tunnel some of the power, and a bluish streak of silver death slams to the tower and explodes, and Jack falls to his death. Taryn roars that she's a lightning wielder. And we learn later on that there hasn't been one in centuries.
Of course.
They make it back to the field where all of Fourthwing is celebrating. She wants to be sick over Liam and then killing Jack, but the dragons are really proud of her. So she's like, okay, okay. Later that night, she's in her nightgown throwing daggers at a target when Zayden comes to check on her. He knows she's still upset and says that she's allowed to be, but she has to realize that at some point people are going to die by her hands. So,
I mean, yeah.
Kind of gotta get over it.
Yeah.
But he tells her that she's allowed to be upset and to take it out on him if she needs. She goes to him and kisses him.
Yeah.
He spins them until she's against the wall and tells her that they cannot do this. But she's not allowed to do it with anyone else either. And she's like, well, I only want you. So, and his control snaps and he starts kissing her passionately and then lifts her up and sets her down on the desk. He stops kissing her again. So she asks if he even wants this.
Does this feel like I don't want you? He takes my hand and slides it between our bodies, and my fingers curl around his length through his leathers. I whimper with pure want at the feel of how hard he is for me. I always fucking want you, he groans as I squeeze. You walk into a room, and I can't look away. I get anywhere near you, and this is what happens. Instantly hard. Fucking hell. I can barely think when you're around.
Zayden!
He's so hot.
They kiss some more, and he tries to tell her again that they shouldn't do this, even if they want to.
Stop being so fucking honorable and fuck me, Zayden. His eyes flare, and then he kisses me like I'm the heir he's been missing, like his life depends on it, and I think mine just might. His fingers slide under my underwear and stroke my slickened core, and a moan tumbles from my lips. His touch is electric, so damn soft. He kisses me deeply as his fingers touch and tease, making that sweet coil of pleasure tighten in my core. I dig my nails into his shoulder, my back arching as he makes tighter and tighter circles against my swollen clit. I bet you taste just as good as you feel.
Woof! He fingers her, and when she comes, lightning strikes outside.
Oh! That would be so inconvenient.
That would.
She demands he fuck her, and they both confirm that they're fine to do this, and then he undresses and he fucks her. They literally break almost all of her furniture, and she can feel her power building, so he tells her to let it out. Lightning whips around her, and thunder cracks, and they smell smoke. He uses his shadows to stop the fire, and then he lays her on the ground, fucking her into oblivion until they both come. The only thing not destroyed is the bed, because they didn't use it.
Oh my goodness.
The next morning, she wakes up alone in her room. It's somewhat clean, and there's a jar of violets on her desk.
Oh, cute. Aww.
She gets ready, and then Professor Carr is at her door telling her they have work to do. So Professor Carr is the one that, like, helps them train their signets once they get them.
Okay.
He takes her to a remote mountain spot where she can't burn anything down to practice, and she soon realizes that it's not easy, so she can't do more than a couple strikes at a time. She can't aim them, like, nothing. Later that day, Zayden stops by to help her properly clean her room, but then suggests what they should do instead. She does let him know that she can't separate her emotion for him from sex, so they shouldn't go further with this. He says it would never happen, but she knows he's lying since he's done so much to show that he cares about her. He got her those daggers that he made specifically for her, mm-hmm. a saddle. Mm-hmm. He did the violets.
Mm-hmm.
He's down bad.
If he wanted to, he would, and he did.
That's his girl.
They start a game where they are like, fine, but don't think about what happened last night. So she's like, don't think about my hand around your dick. And he's like, well, don't think about my mouth on your pussy.
His hand rests next to my head as he leans into my space, his lips curving into a half smile. Then I guess I'll ignore the memory of how hot and slick you feel around my cock, and how you cry out for more until all I can think about is how to push every physical limit to be exactly what you need. Marry him.
She tells him that he can lie to himself about how he feels all he wants, but not to return to her room until he's ready to admit that he likes her more than he should. It's been a month. She still can't aim her lightning, but she's up to 20 strikes an hour, which is a lot. They're 10 days away from graduation, and she still hasn't heard where Zayden's going to be stationed because he's graduating this year. He's gone. It's also reunification day, and they are all to dress in their dress uniforms and meet in the courtyard at 9 for fireworks. Reunification day is when they like became Navarre or whatever.
It's like the 4th of July. Makes me want a hot dog real bad.
That was great.
Yeah, that was.
It's like the celebration of when the people, like the traitors, got put to rest.
They get to the courtyard looking hot as fuck, but Violet can't find Zayden. Her mom is in attendance along with all the scribes, all the healers, and all infantry people. And that's when she also notices that none of the marked ones are here because technically everyone is celebrating their parents' deaths. So she's like, Liam, you can leave if you want. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm staying with you.
Damn.
They're like, hey, we killed your parents.
How do you feel?
The king arrives. It's like a whole deal. A whole shebang. The king is there.
Okay.
She begs Liam to leave as she sees the king coming their way, but Liam tells her that's her biggest threat and he's not going to leave her with him. The king goes over fake pleasantries and then asks why all the marked ones aren't in attendance when he specifically requested they be. Violet distracts him enough to move on, and then Dane approaches her, telling her how beautiful she looks. Dane can see that her and Liam are really tense and tells them to use the staircase to the right and that he'll cover for them for like leaving the party. When they get to the courtyard, she feels Zayden through their like bond and tells Liam to get lost while she finds him.
Find your man.
The bond takes her up the parapet, and it's been a whole year since she's climbed it, but she knows he's up there, so she's gonna go up there. As she starts to trek across it, she knows that she's in love with Zayden. He panics when he sees her trying to cross and hurries to her, telling her she needs to go back, but she's like, I'm fine. I'm where I want to be because I'm with you. They both agree they're tired of fighting the chemistry between them and they want to give it a chance. She talks him into joining her on solid ground and then starts dragging him to his dorm room. She makes him sit on the bed and he's like, okay, now what?
I move between his thighs and run my fingers through his hair. He closes his eyes and leans into my touch, and I swear, I feel my heart crack wide open. Now I take care of you.
Suck his dick.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, slap on his balls.
Yeah.
She helps him get undressed and tucked into bed, and she admits that she loves him, and he kisses her. That ended on the page of my Kindle, and I was like, she tucks him into bed?
Is that really all that happens?
No. He undresses her and says that he needs her now. They start kissing again, and then he lays her down on the bed before eating her out. When she comes, thunder booms outside.
Bow, bow, bow.
Delicious, he whispers, his lips skimming the plane of my stomach. You are absolutely delicious. I never should have waited this long to get my mouth on you.
After he's done, he crawls over her and they fuck until both of them come, and her power shatters his window.
Oh.
They go at it again until she reaches orgasm number 5.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then Garrick starts pounding on the door, telling them that there's a lot of dead people right now, so they're all supposed to go to formation.
Oh.
Can you imagine that? Like, you're just having the time of your life, getting dick down, and then someone's like, hey, there's dead people, we gotta go.
Yeah, that would kill it real quick.
When they're both decent, Zayden opens the door and demands to know what Garrick's talking about. He tells them Bazgaiath is under attack. In formation, Rhiannon calls her out on wearing a cadet's jacket. Who's the cadet's jacket on her?
Oh my god.
She's wearing Zayden's jacket.
Oh my god. Scandal.
They all quickly learn it's not an actual attack, but it's part of the war games.
Oh.
The exercise will send each wing to a different outpost for 5 days, so they're all to go packed. So it's like pretty much pretend war. At the flight field, she sees that Andarna's coming with. She's strapped to something similar like a saddle, but she tells Violet it hooks to Tarn in case she gets tired of flying.
Little baby girl.
It's like a little baby carrier.
Yeah, a little baby Bjorn.
So cute.
Poor Tarn. He's like, god damn it.
He's like, I got my two babies.
Yep. And Darna lets her know that
that the wing leader made it for her. So Zayden made it for her.
That's so cute.
Oh my god.
Zayden approaches them and lets Dane and Violet know that she's coming with him, Liam, and Imogen. Dane and Zayden get into a little tiff, and that's when Dane realizes Zayden and Violet are a thing. He wishes Violet good luck and says that he'll miss her, and then he turns and walks to his dragon.
They're not just a thing. They're fucking. They're in love.
They are in love.
They fly all morning and afternoon until they snap through the wards and drop to a lake for a water break. Zayden tells them to hurry up because they have no idea what's waiting for them. But while they're waiting, Zayden tugs Violet to the trees and kisses her, admitting he wishes they had more time this morning to finish what they started. As they make out, Zayden stops and apologizes to Violet, and just as she's about to ask what he's apologizing for, he sidesteps when a woman's voice calls out that she must be the general's daughter. And she sees two griffin riders.
What's happening?
And they're the enemies.
There's two enemies.
Why did Zayden say sorry, though?
I don't know.
Continue.
She calls for Taryn and then gets her power ready, but Zayden stops her and tells her to trust him, and then passes her to Liam, who approached with Imogen and another third year. As Taryn bellows at Liam in warning to let Violet go, she turns to see Zayden tell the riders that they're really early.
What the fuck?
It wasn't their agreed upon time. She feels like her heart is going to explode as she listens to him talk about some type of shipment, then a warning of Venon burning a village 2 days ago. Zayden stops the woman talking before more information is shared, because the more information shared, the greater risk of everything being ruined if they're caught.
And remember, Venon was the thing in her little fairy tale book that everyone's like, those aren't fucking real.
Yeah. So those are the creatures that take too much magic and they turn into Venon.
They're like vampires, kind of. Like vampire zombies.
Yeah. But on magic.
So if they like channel power from the earth instead of from a dragon, they turn into Venon.
Are they still like human looking?
No.
No.
No. And there's like stages of them too. You learn throughout the series that like they get less human the longer that they are a Venon.
There was one in Iron Flame that sounded like he was a bit crispy.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
The Griffin Riders tell him that the Venon are headed to the outpost where Dane and the others are, and then they leave. Violet notices for the first time that Zayden brought all the Marked Ones he could with them. She's the only one there without a rebellion relic. Then she realizes even her own dragons knew, and she turns on Liam, saying she thought they were friends, shoving him until Zayden begs her to listen. The others leave while he tries to explain that he's been helping smuggle weapons for Griffin Riders to fight and defend themselves from Venon. They aren't folklore creatures, they are actually real. She realizes that he's telling the truth, and a bunch of pieces start clicking together. We learn that the only thing that kills Venon is the very thing that power the wards, and she asks if that's why there's been like a bunch of raids on the borders. Like, are they looking for material? Like, what are they looking for? And he tells her that they're not sure yet, but the weapons that they're forging to hand the Griffin Riders are specific to kill the Venon, and then he hands her one. It goes more in depth in the second book, but the daggers have like this little alloy disc in them with specific magic to kill them. She's heartbroken that he kept it a secret, but he admits that he couldn't lose her. He asks if she believes him before they continue, and she says yes, but she doesn't trust him anymore. As they fly, Taryn apologizes for not telling her the truth, and she can feel how guilty he feels through the bond. She continues putting pieces together, how her dad literally gave her the Book of Fables and practically spelled it out for her, how the archives only have documents dating back to 400 years, even though the history span is 600 years, and when they land at their outpost they're supposed to be at, it's way too quiet. And Zayden admits that he doesn't think this is part of the war games. They split up, and Zayden asks her to recall exactly what Dane said before they left, and she says, I'll miss you, and Zayden will get you killed, or something like that. So now they're like, did Dane know that something's going on? Zayden pauses and asks if she told Dane about his trips here, and she says that she would never do that, but then he clarifies if Dane touched her. She tells him that she would know if he read her memories, and he says that she would not know. So remember, he touched her face.
Yeah.
Violation of privacy.
Slimy motherfucker.
Garrick brings Zayden a letter addressed to him from Colonel Atos, which is Dane's dad, and then Liam says he sees something. The note says, survive if you can. Dane read her memories without her permission and told his dad, and now they are sent there to die.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So they're in a real war scenario now, not the fake war game.
What the fuck?
Liam admits he can see the Venon approaching, and they can either choose to fly to where their fourth wing is now and let the people of the village die, or defend an enemy village and then finish the war games. The previous Griffin riders land to defend the outpost, and the riders make up their mind. They're all staying to fight. She tells Indarna to stay hidden, and Indarna will know if Violet dies, so if she feels that bond break, to fly back to the Vale, or at least the wards. And then a wyvern flies overhead. And remember, that's the other thing in the Book of Fables that's not supposed to be true, is a wyvern.
She's like, I fucking knew it.
Zayden tells Violet no help will be coming, since General Melgrin can't even see them due to all of their rebellion relics. So, since there's more than three rebellion relics, he can't see where they are. If they survive, he will tell her whatever secret she wants to know, and then they mount their dragons and launch into the air. It's chaos, but they work together to get the townspeople to a mine shaft where Violet focuses to use her power to kill a Vennin. Violet and Taryn fly and strike bolt after bolt of lightning, only some landing, and she sees Zayden jump from Sigale to use his shadows to aid townspeople, and then a wyvern spots him. Sigale reaches him in time, but now a wyvern is on Taryn's tail, and they're just about to die when Sigale absolutely annihilates the wyvern.
Yeah, get it.
Zayden goes to help more civilians, and Liam runs off his dragon's back to knock Taryn and Violet to the side, narrowly missing a wyvern. His dragon and the wyvern lock in battle as Violet struggles to hold on to Liam. So he's like falling off, and her shoulders are like dislocating as she's holding onto his body. It's clear everyone's too busy, so it's up to them to save his dragon as he plummets to the ground with the wyvern locked on him. Taryn does everything he can to get the wyvern off, but the dragon hits the mountainside and it doesn't walk away. So Liam's dragon died.
And remember, a rider without their dragon is dead.
Taryn blasts the wyvern and they land so Liam can go to him. She mentally tells Zayden about the whole situation and that Liam has only minutes left. She drags Liam's body to his dragon and cradles him as he dies. She promises to look after his sister next year and thanks him for being her friend. Zayden arrives and helps Liam the couple more feet next to his dragon. She watches as they say goodbye, and then dozens of wyverns appear in the air. Zayden tells her that there are two riders with the new horde, and he will hold them off with his shadows to buy her time to kill them. He knows that she could do it. She decides to become her nickname, Violence. They launch back in the sky, and she hits a wyvern on the first go. Then they stumble sideways as Taryn roars in pain. A Vennin is on his back and just stabbed him. She decides getting out of her seat is just a more dangerous parapet and undoes her buckle to kill the Vennin. The Vennin is fast, though, and quickly breaks her arm and stabs her abdomen right below her vest. She immediately knows that the dagger is poison, as the Vennin talks about taking her back to the Sage with all of the power she can feel coming from Violet. So the Sage is like the master of Vennin. Zayden splits his power to give her the coverage of shadows to kill the Vennin. And once his shadows fall away, she sees a bunch of wyvern fall dead, all because she killed one Vennin. So now, new plan, try to kill the rider.
Yeah. Because they create the wyvern. So when you kill the creator, you kill all of the wyvern.
Hell yeah. Created.
Like a little puppet.
She's on the verge of a burnout, but Indarna helps her pause time for a moment. When it pauses, she commands a bunch of lightning to strike and uses one to pause time to inch towards the Vennin. And then she feels herself burning out as Zayden screams in her mind. She releases time to see the bolt of lightning strike true and kill the Vennin. She watches it slide off the wyvern and more than half of the other wyvern fall dead. She sees Zayden kill the last Vennin and she loses consciousness sliding from Taryn's back. Remember, she got stabbed with poison.
Yeah.
She gains consciousness mid-fall to time stopped and Indarna catching her, even though she can't support a rider's weight. When time starts again, she's off Indarna's back into someone's arms. She knows it's Zayden's, but she can't speak. They all agree that the dagger was poison and he begs her to live. She wakes sometime later to them flying over the cliffs of Draelor, and her body's on fire and in so much pain, and then she wakes again. We're in Zayden's POV. Sigale tells him that she's gonna live. It's been 3 days and he's a wreck. Absolute wreck. He fights sleep watching over her and begs her not to die because he doesn't want to be without her. She wakes up and he checks her wound to see that it's almost gone. She says she's fine. She kisses him and he's like, okay, like, I'm so sorry. I'll make it up to you. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he tells her that they don't know what the poison on the dagger was, but her dragons are fine. She rushes to look out the window, demanding him to tell her where they are because they're not back in Bazgaia. He tells her she knows the answer, and he also mentally thinks about how they've worked super hard to rebuild it. They're in Arisha. She works more puzzle pieces in her brain. Melgren can't see the outcome of anything when there are more than three marked ones, and that's how they've rebuilt Arisha, which is the city that got burned down from the rebellion. So that's like where Zayden's home is.
Mm-hmm.
She kicks him out of the room to bathe and dress, and we learn from a conversation with Garrick that they retrieved a small iron box with runes on it, and that's what the Venon were after. Zayden also cleans himself up and then waits outside his room until she steps out.
I nearly swallow my tongue at the sight of her unbound, damp hair curling just under her breasts. I can't even articulate what it is about the strands that pushes me straight into need to fuck her now territory, and I'm too busy fighting to keep my hands at my sides to question the why of it. She exists, and I get turned on. I've come to accept that particular truth over the last year.
That's your lady.
That is.
She invites him in and says he will tell her everything, but he needs to know one thing. Is she in and wanting to fight on their side, or does she want to go back to Bazgaiath and fight on their side? She says that she's in, but as he steps to her, she tells him they can't be together since he lies to her. And there's a knock on the door, and Brennan walks in saying, "Welcome to the revolution, little sister." So her dead brother of 6 years.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Yeah. And that's the end. That's literally how it ends. Welcome to the revolution, little sister.
Well, we're gonna have to do the next one. Have to.
If the people want it, we'll give it to them.
All right, people, tell us.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
5. I give it 5.
And do you think Zayden is sexy?
Yes, I do.
Would you trade places with Violet?
Maybe. Sounds fun.
I would without the joint issues.
Yeah, without an autoimmune disorder, if I was like just 100%, you know.
She's a bad bitch, though.
You know, yeah. She is a fucking bad bitch. She did all that, and she has, like, sucky joints. Like, so cool. I would prefer to have, like, immaculate joints
if I'm gonna go. Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
All right, so next week we're telling Riley all about Pounded by Produce by GM Fairy. What a switch up.
I know.
And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Well, the cover, there's a cucumber with two tomatoes posing as like a dick and balls. I think a woman is going to go to a store. She's going to go to the store. Maybe she just recently broke up with a boyfriend or something. She's newly single and she hates men. But she's going to go... Something is going to happen there. Maybe the power is going to go out. Something. I don't know.
Oddly specific.
It's oddly specific.
God, I'm so horny in this store. Be right back.
Yeah. And I think like maybe a group of vegetables come to life and maybe form a man.
Terrifying.
And fuck her.
What if I told you this is loosely based on VeggieTales?
Wow. Isn't like VeggieTales like a Christian?
It is.
Wow.
GM's done it again, you guys.
Yes, she has. Yes, she has. This creative gal. Then I have no fucking clue.
Well, I guess we'll find out next week.
Yay.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.